Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Dr. Joanne White, and I am really excited about being here today because I love the subject. Actually, I love most of the subjects that we do on the Power Your Life show. And today, in particular, we're actually doing something about health and fitness and weight loss and really maintaining that weight for those people who are already at that wonderful number that they like and want to keep over time. So it's really important. And we have two incredible guests who are really going to take you through ways to help you gear yourself up mentally, emotionally, and physically to get what you need and to move ahead with more health and at that ideal weight. My first guest today is Dr. Rob Kminarek. I may have pronounced it wrong, Dr. Rob, so hold on. And he's an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, and a family physician. And he has expertise in health, fitness, and nutrition. He's a fitness expert and the author of 16 Minutes a Day. He owns American Fitness Doctor, which is a resource for individuals for personal coaching, a solution for organizations to help improve the overall health of their workforce, increase morale, productivity and achieve their organizational goals. In 16 Minutes a Day are the essential elements that Dr. Rob uses with his patients to guide them to permanent weight loss. Did you hear that, folks? Permanent weight loss. While building a stronger, healthier, more active, and less painful body. Weight loss information that you can use immediately to affect the changes that you want in just 16 minutes a day. And The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss is his newest book release and an Amazon bestseller. So congratulations, Dr. Rob, and how are you?
Well, thank you so much for that warm introduction. And I'm doing fine, and I hope that all of your listeners are doing fantastic. And after today, we'll give them some information that they can put into their lives immediately to affect the changes that they want.
Which is so really important because so many people, as you know, struggle, because you're an expert in this area, they struggle with maintaining their weight. There are so many diets out there, so many programs you can on television. There are a million different programs to choose from, and people are not knowing what to do, following advice, and maybe blindly in the hopes of keeping weight off or getting it off and then maintaining that goal weight, and you have some incredible answers for us. So firstly, how did you get involved in this? I always like to ask my guests that because sometimes the origins of how they started out in a particular area are so very telling and are wonderful stories to share.
And that's a really interesting question. And I have to tell you, if you were to visit my website, americasfitnessdoctor.com, you would most likely see my picture and go, but this guy doesn't ever worry about weight. Look at him. And that's not the case. For me, this all really started about 10 years ago, and I had gotten really busy with my family practice, which is in a rural community. And I had forgotten to pay attention to myself, to do the things that I needed to do so that I could be healthy. And just one day I was walking into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I didn't even really recognize myself any longer. I had suddenly gained about 50 pounds of weight, and it happened literally overnight. I just lost track of things. Well, I thought, I can't do this. I'm a doctor. I'm telling my patients to lose weight. I need to be in shape. That's being hypocritical. So I nose to the grindstone. I start working out, and after so much time, I finally had lost the weight. But it was really a struggle. And I had never had to battle with losing weight ever in my life. I was this skinny little kid growing up, and all of a sudden in my early 30s, I'd gained all this weight. Well, it left me with an entirely different point of view, a whole new perspective about how difficult it can be to lose weight, and I knew how. I'm a doctor. So then how difficult is it for my patients who really don't know and aren't sure who to trust or where to go? And that started the whole cascade for me. I started writing pamphlets for my patients to guide them so that they knew what to do and what are the best forms of exercise to use, how they should be eating every day to power their body, how much water they need to drink, and how important rest is when it comes to weight loss. And writing these small pamphlets, all of a sudden I found myself putting them all together, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got a book. And so I ended up putting this book together for my patients to share with them so that they could lose weight efficiently and keep it off for good and by following some basic principles. And that's really how this whole thing started for me.
You know, I think it's a great journey because often, Dr. Rob, when it hits home like it did for you in terms of that extra weight that you did not want to hold on to, it comes organically from ourselves, and it really helps us to, like you did, solidify something that we can share with people because we've lived through it, we've gone through it, and we know what it's like to be on the other side, like, you know, commiserating with your patients and with our listeners who want to get that weight off but really don't know what to do. I want to shift something. You mentioned water, and water today is so very, very important, and people don't know. All we keep hearing is drink a lot of water, drink a lot of water, and we get variations about how much is important. What do you tell your patients, and what do you tell people in the book about what's the right amount of water to drink while you're on this weight loss program or staying fit?
Whether
program?
Or not you're trying to lose weight or just be healthy, your body requires water every single day. It is the most important liquid that your body requires. Your body doesn't need coffee, it doesn't need soda, it doesn't need tea, but it does need water. And the average person should be drinking 12-ounce bottles of water a day. Now, that sounds like a lot of water, but when you start drinking water on a regular basis, your body knows what to do with it naturally. It actually starts to let go of the excess water that you carry, and it fully hydrates your body as you're taking it in. Initially, a lot of patients, when they start drinking a lot of water every day, all of a sudden find themselves in the restroom constantly having to pee. But once your body's hydration status catches up, it really stops letting go of all the unnecessary fluids, and you'll actually start to lean out. So water physiology, or how your body handles water, is actually a very complex process. And we quite don't understand all of how it functions, but we do know that it's necessary for every single process in the body to work appropriately. Your joints need it to be cushioned. Your brain needs it to function. Your lungs need it so that you can move oxygen in and out of your body. And your kidneys need it to remove all the toxins that accumulate in your body every day. So it's very essential that you drink enough water, and the recommended amount is 8 bottles that are 12 ounces.
You know, it sounds like you're describing it. I'm thinking, am I doing that? Now, what about, and I want to shift to this incredible weight loss and fitness formula that you have, because I think that's so important. But can you do you have to drink just water, or can you do it and mix it with herbal tea or a little bit of juice, or does it have to be just totally straight water?
Well, your body does require a certain amount of water every day. And when you're eating healthful foods, if your diet is high in fruits and vegetables, which it should be, those items like apples, bananas, raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, leafy green vegetables, 80% of their structure is water. So you're getting a lot of hydration coming from the foods that you eat. Now, if you're eating a lot of processed foods, guess what the percentage of water is in processed foods?
probably
zero.
Next to nothing, right.
Zero. It has a high sodium content, which is exactly what we don't want, but it has no water content. And so you, as we, as people, as living organisms, are designed to eat food that is living, not dead. And these living foods, like fruits and vegetables, are full of water, and that also helps to hydrate your body. You can't really overdrink. There are a few medical syndromes where people can't drink a lot of water or drinking too much is problematic, and some people have some heart conditions where their doctors have limited the amount of water they can drink. But for the average person, eating your fruits and vegetables every day and drinking an appropriate amount of water, which would be 8, 12-ounce bottles of water a day, will get you to where you need to be.
And I think that's so important because fruits and vegetables, like you said, they're the foods that are alive, that they have energy in them, and so that they give back energy to our systems to create that vitality that we need so much. You have, Dr. Rob, a formula, an incredible formula to fitness, and I want our listening audience to really get that information because I think it's great, and I think it's wonderful that you created this. So what's your formula for fitness?
Well, this formula is really quite simple, and it's easy to remember, and it's actually the title of my new book that's coming out by Hay House in a couple of months, and it's called The Newer You, and it's spelled N-E-W-R, The Newer You, and N stands for nutrition, which is the first foundation of your health. The E stands for exercise, the W stands for water, and the R stands for rest and recovery. And what we know about how the body functions, 80% of staying healthful, of maintaining a healthful body that can be disease-free and prevent cancer, is nutrition. So we focus a lot of our energy in all of my books on understanding how nutrition affects the body.
So
when we talk about eating lots of fruits and vegetables and drinking lots of water, that's making sure that your body gets the energy it needs from living items, food items, so that it can do the things that you want it to do.
Now, what about the rest part? Because a lot of people claim that, oh, I only need 3-4 hours sleep. I have one client who only gets 4 hours sleep, and he thinks he's doing great. And then I've read a lot of information recently, and I believe this is true, about how important, like you're suggesting, how important rest and sleep are. What do people need on a daily basis to really recover from everything that they're doing within the day?
Well, studies have shown that the average person needs somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of rest. Now, as we age, people, as they get a little older, tend to require less rest and have less fitful rest. And so it's very important as you age to make sure that you're eating healthful foods, that you're getting regular, meaningful exercise on a daily basis, that you're drinking plenty of water to hydrate your body, and that will lead to a cleaner sleep pattern where you get more restful sleep in the evening. And so sleep hygiene or sleep maintenance, as we call it, when people rest at night, making sure that they get that 7 to 9 hours of sleep, allows the body to do what it does naturally. When you rest, it gives all your body systems a chance to take a break. It allows your heart to slow down. It allows your body to help rid itself of toxins, and it allows for the natural hormonal rhythm of the body to release all these powerful hormones that help keep your body in shape. And when you don't get adequate amounts of rest, there are hormones that we don't want much of, like cortisol, for example, that start to elevate, and that's one of the stress hormones. And when that happens, the next thing that happens is you start gaining weight, which is what we don't want. Now, there are always those people that are kind of outliers that don't require a lot of rest and do really well. I'm one of those people. I've always been that way where it seems like 6.5, 7 hours, you know, I go to bed and I'm up before the sun comes up and I'm raring to go. But then I have one of those days, you know, like one day out of the month where I just kind of like to relax and rest and let my body recharge and then I'm good for another 30 days. But I'm one of those strange people, too, that seems to be fine in about 6.5, 7 hours of sleep.
But you know your body, so it's, I think it's really important that for people who know their bodies, they understand that that's what they need. But if people are trying to do that, now I remember years ago I was thinking, oh, I need more time in a day, so I'm just going to learn how to take off 20 minutes here, 20 minutes, and to add up to several hours. It never worked, Dr. Rob, because I love my sleep, and I also love being awake and energized, and so I decided let's just forego that. And right in front of me is this wonderful book, this bestseller, congratulations, The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss. And you talk a lot about, well, you have some great exercises in there that I commented on because I go to the gym on a regular basis, and these are really exercises to really trim the body and to really work it, and they're easy. Well, they're a little bit strenuous, but people can do them. But you talk about emotional eating, and I know, and you know, and the people who are listening who have challenges, that that's a struggle that many people who want to lose weight have, because they may have something that goes on during the day and they're fine, and then suddenly something happens, a challenge at work, a challenge with their families, a challenge with their relationships, maybe even a health challenge, and suddenly they reach for food on the shelf, mostly food that is not healthy, like food that's cookies and ice cream and whatever, or raid their refrigerator because they're looking for comfort. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's a problem that a lot of people have. And what do we need to do? What do they need to do to kind of get past that?
You know, that is a fantastic question, and I'm glad that you asked that one, because almost everybody walking this planet, one time or another, struggles with emotional eating. And I want everyone to understand that that happens to everybody. And when it does happen, it's okay. You should not beat yourself up about it, that it happened. Be aware of what happened. And then your next decision moving forward is to be a better one about eating a healthful food. But let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the physiology that happens. When we get stressed, we get all these kinds of hormones that our brain releases that are not really good for us. And it sends signals to search out things that are comforting. And sugary, fatty foods send signals in the brain and release these really powerful hormones that are feel-good hormones. And so there's a physiologic reason why we crave some of these kind of foods when we get stressed. Now, when we're aware of the fact that we're feeling the stress, and we know that our brain is sending these neurochemicals out that's saying, oh, we're stressed, I want to do something to feel good. For many of us, eating food, because of the high sugar content, high fat content of a lot of the junk foods, they feel good when you eat them. You eat them and these neurochemicals are released from the brain that send these good feelings, and it relieves the stress. Now, some people end up being more stressed afterwards because they beat themselves up for the fact that they went and they had that item that is not necessarily so good for you. I have a favorite. Without a doubt, one of my most stressful days, I love Oreo cookies. Not particularly good for you, but I will go ahead and allow myself to have them because it lets me feel good. So it's not necessarily a bad thing to let that happen, but keeping control of it is what we want to be able to do. And so understanding that there is actually a neurochemical, physiologic reason why this happens many times helps people get over the issue themselves. So that,
you know,
I'm stressed. I know I'm stressed, and I know I'm going to eat this bag of potato chips because it's going to make me feel better, because it's going to release really good hormones in my brain that make me feel better. I get it. You know what? I don't need them now. So
you know,
just
something,
being aware
you said
of how your body functions.
You said something really important, that is don't get yourself, like, let's say you do it. Okay, so let's say you're stressed out and you're understanding the physiology of it that you so aptly presented to our listeners. But what happens to a lot of people, and I know people like this, that once they have that cookie or Oreos or whatever, I love ginger snaps, but I eat organic, healthy sugar because it doesn't do what the other sugar does to my body. And the point is, though, once they do that, they get stuck in that loop that you were talking about beating themselves up. And what that does is I think that creates more reason to eat because you're beating yourself up and then you're feeling badly about yourself. And it just is that cycle that goes on and on and on and on. And you just said something that people need to really pay attention to, Dr. Rob, and that is, okay, so you did it. Allow yourself to recognize that you did it and sort of like go right back on, get back on track, because we're all human, and so we have to make allowances, like you said, for your Oreos to be able to do that once in a while. But the key is not to get caught, as you said, in that cycle that gets people wanting more and more and more and more and then disliking themselves for doing it, and it goes on and on and on and on.
And that's absolutely correct and perfect the way that you stated that. And that's what I would encourage people to do. Don't beat yourself up. It's okay. I actually had one of those nights last night, and my wife was laughing at me. She looked at me. She could tell I was stressed. She goes, are you in an Oreo cookie mood? And I said, yeah, and I haven't had them probably in, I don't know, like 2 weeks. But it's just one of those nights. I want to watch a movie, and I'm going to eat Oreo cookies. And you know what? I did it. I enjoyed it. I got it out of my system. And then this morning when I got up, I did my exercise program. And when you're exercising on a regular basis, when you're eating healthful food 90% of the time, when you're drinking plenty of water, it's okay to do that every now and then. It's actually not bad for your body to load up all those glycogen stores from all the sugary fat foods every now and then and to move on. What we don't want you to do is get in a cascade of going, oh, I just blew my diet. I ate these cookies or I had these chips or I ate those candies and now I blew it. No, you didn't. You didn't blow it at all. It's just one decision. You have a decision to make in another 4 to 6 hours when you're going to eat and when you eat the next time you want it to be healthful. And that's all you have to do.
And that's such a kind and supportive way of dealing with yourself, which we need to do when we're really looking out to change some of those habits that we have in terms of eating and really get to a better place. Now, you've written this book.
That was
primarily.
Well said. I really like that. That what you just said was so
it.
Important. You just said was you need to love yourself first, and that's what this is all about. You need to love yourself first. And this is one of the things I do when it comes to food. I'll look at a food item, no matter what it is, and I ask myself, since I'm my own best friend and I love my body, what is this food item going to do for me? It might sound selfish, but it isn't. What will eating this hamburger do for me? And that's how I get past some food items, like if I'm really kind of craving something, but I know I probably shouldn't have it because I didn't exercise enough today, I'll look at it and I'll go, geez, you know, that toasted cheese sandwich, what is that really going to do for my body? And then I'll say, you know, nothing good. I don't want it. And that's one of the little tricks that I use to help get past some things at times when it might be a little tough because you're at a party or an event and you really don't want that item. I'll use that little trick. What is that going to do for my body? And that all starts with loving yourself.
Well, that's so very important now and really essential to, I think, to everything in terms of diet, in terms of life, in terms of supporting oneself and moving ahead and forward. You, in this book, firstly, a lot of the book is dedicated to brides, obviously, who need to lose weight quickly because they're getting ready for their huge event. And there are many people who are getting ready for all kinds of events, so it's not just a marriage or anything like that. But the beginning of that, it's like, okay, you make a decision, Dr. Rob. Now I want to do it. I want to lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds, whatever it is. What do they need to do to sort to take off, to begin it? Because What's the mental and emotional and physical state that they need to get to say, okay, now I'm ready and let's do it and open up your book with such insightful ways to go about it?
You know, that's a spectacular question. And when most people, when they make that decision that they want something, then nothing will get in their way. Willpower will win out every single time. So when a person comes to me and says, I want to accomplish this task, show me how to do it, that's how this book came about. I actually had a patient come into my office and said, I'm getting married in about 45 days. I want to lose 15 pounds. I don't know what to do. And I said, oh, no problem. I have all these different workout routines that I've already put together. Let me give you one. And as I was giving her the information, it realized this little light bulb went off. That could be a really kind of neat book because here's a lot of misguided people trying to get in shape prior to getting married, whether they're a man or a woman, and they don't have the right kind of information. And so that's how The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss came about. And it's written for all women. You don't have to be getting married to utilize this book. The exercises in it are designed for women and demonstrated by a woman. They're designed to target those areas that all women have difficulty with. And the nutrition plan in there is built specifically for women because women's nutritional needs are different than a man's needs. And so we have those adjustments. I actually have a concept that I utilize in this book called exercise pausing. And most people would never catch on to this one. It's a very subtle technique that's not talked about very much. But on the days where I'm having the women do their aerobic exercise, where it's either running, cycling, rowing, swimming, ellipticals, dancing, jumping rope, after the second 10-minute interval, we have them do nothing for 5 minutes. And this is some of the heavy science that's in this book that we actually don't go into detail about. But when you stop exercising for 5 minutes after you've followed a specific plan, it allows time for what are called free fatty acids to get out of the fat cell and into the bloodstream where they can then be utilized for energy. Once the free fatty acids get out into the bloodstream and are utilized, they can't go back in because they're gone. And we use a concept called exercise pausing to increase the amount of fat loss that occurs with certain kinds of exercise. That's the kind of exercise routines that we have in The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss. It's got a neat, niche title, and it's fun for a specific group, but the reality is the science behind the workouts in this book are cutting edge.
You know, I never knew that about taking that rest because I move quickly, and I've been exercising since I've been like 15 years old pretty religiously, and I just go from one thing to another. But that's, I love that idea, and I love the whole science behind it too. Dr. Rob,
heavily researched out of UCLA. They put a lot of time into research, understanding why women store fat differently than men. And it was discovered by taking this pause, but you have to do specific kinds of exercise beforehand. It won't work with all exercise. But when they take this pause and then we re-exercise them, it keeps them from re-esterifying fat below the waist.
And we need it.
Well, that's where women store fat differently
right.
than men. And we talk about that in The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss.
Dr. Rob, we have about a minute or so left, and I want to make sure that people know how to get your books, how to contact you, and also you have something, I believe, to help people really begin to take off. So I want to hear about that, too, but we have about a minute left.
Okay. No matter which website you go to, you'll be able to get a hold of my Health Foundation report. You just put your name and your email in there, and you'll get a 20-something-odd page report that's a foundation for your health that'll help you get started in any area of your fitness that you want to get started in. And so whether you go to americasfitnessdoctor.com, which is my big website, you can get that free Health Foundation report. If you're interested in The Bride's Guide to Quick Weight Loss, you can go to thebridesguidetoquickweightloss.com. You can get either the digital version downloaded to your computer or a hard copy that I'll personally sign and ship out to you. And you can get the free Foundation Health Report there also. So any of those sites, that'll pop up and they can get that information for absolutely free. And when you do sign up, we actually make a donation to the Artemis House here in Dayton, Ohio, which is an organization that helps battered women and children. Because that's something that none of us here like to tolerate. And I always, everyone has their favorite charities, and I love to help this organization take care of these women and children that are trying to escape these violent households. So,
well, I think that's so important that you're doing that, you're giving back, and you have some incredible information to share with people. So go to Dr. Rob's website, get get this free download and also check out his books and check out Dr. Rob, because he's not to be missed. Dr. Rob, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much. I love the exercises in this book. I'm going to start, not today, because I already did my hike this morning, but I'm going to start them tomorrow morning. And thanks so much for being a guest on Power Your Life.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been fantastic speaking with all of your wonderful listeners, and have a fabulous day.
You do the same. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So we're still talking about weight loss, and we're going to shift gears because there are many people right now who are travelers. I know I do a lot of traveling for business. I just got back from actually a pleasure trip, but traveling was key. Luckily, I was doing it in a car so I could pack up the special foods, because I do eat healthy, and I wanted to make sure that I had those foods. But think about those people like yourselves who are on the go, particularly when you're in the airport. My goodness, not to knock airport food, but I've had trouble finding some healthy food. And my next guest is going to help us make sense of it. Veronica Tamar, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, is the author of The Lean, L-E-A-N, Guide for the Business Traveler, which provides healthy eating tips for busy people on the go and overall eating healthy advice. At the time the book was written, she worked for the pharmaceutical industry, and she spent the last 3 years in the health outcomes division of a major company for diabetes. As a healthcare professional, Veronica worked in hospitals, health plans, and almost every aspect of delivery of health care. She serves on the Women's Leadership Council and has represented the association regarding the need for more education in nutrition and physical activity for the general population. Veronica also contributed to Michelle Obama's Let's Move Open Forum, providing input to areas of deficit in physical fitness and nutrition in children and youth, and she's been a liaison for the WECAN program, an NIH evidence-based, nationally recognized program to fight childhood obesity in the United States, and that's become a major, major problem. So welcome, Veronica. How are you?
Excited to be on.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yes, it looks like you're not. I'm looking at the screen, and it says you're not on, but are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. We're
okay,
having a little problem here.
I can hear you, so it's great. It just doesn't look like you're there, but you are here. And actually, LEAN stands for Living Educated About Nutrition on the Go, which is so very, very important. You actually done a lot of traveling, and so you really are an expert at what we need to do when we're traveling and wanting to do that and keep trim or lose weight and be healthy. So can you give us a few tips overall?
Sure. Well, when you travel, you have to look at a lot of these stressors that cause people to overeat. As Dr. Rob was saying, there's just the stressors that we see in daily life get augmented 10 times. So you have a lot of more emotional eating. You have a tremendous amount of stress. You have a lot of travelers, sometimes they're guilty because they're gone away from home a lot. There's a lot of self-sabotaging that goes on that just augments the issues of eating healthy. And so these things I've captured in what I put into the book. I've really looked at what are the things that make it different for a traveler. And certainly you need to be guarded much more than if you don't travel. So some of the things that I focused on is really, you know, there's simple tricks that you can incorporate. If this is what you do for a living, it makes it very hard to keep that waistline down. But you just have to make even more of a conscious effort to keep that weight in check. And so some of the things that I say is, you know, you walk into an airport, you're surrounded by food. Most of it is garbage. There's pizzas, there's hamburgers everywhere. If you don't know how to choose the right foods, you're going to go for the garbage. So always be guarded. Have your checks in place so you don't gravitate towards the the wrong foods. And this is usually, you know, any time of the day, there's just an abundance of bad food surrounding you. So I always say, you know, before you leave to the airport, always try to, even if you're running late, try to have a banana, pack all of your bags with healthy snacks, have plenty of protein around you, protein and trail mixes, fruits that you can carry with you and go through security with no problem. These things make it easier for you to try not to make the poor choices that we make on the run. So it's similar to when you're not at the airport and when you're not traveling, these things apply to the general population, but certainly it's very important to have this in mind when you're traveling.
You know, I think that's so important because when I travel on by air and I actually pack what I want to eat, so I know that, and I know that we may be delayed in the airport because you can never tell about times. So just like you said, I make sure I have an apple or a piece of fruit and whether it's a sandwich or a salad, something that I can eat and even go through the line and people say it's okay when they check my bags. Now,
I've interviewed a lot of flight attendants over the years, and that's one of the things that I've learned from them is actually if you see the thin ones, it's usually because they take their own lunches. They pack their own lunches and their own foods, but of course they do this for a living. So they've gotten into a habit of incorporating healthier habits on the go. But you'd be amazed. So you can carry food through security. It's just liquids that they really have an issue with. So,
you know, I think it's so important. I still have trouble finding a restaurant that's going to meet my needs. I have some needs that I need that in terms of nutrition, and I just find it better off to carry my own. But not only in airports, when you're going, whether it's business or pleasure, people are in restaurants, as you say in your book, that there's alcohol all around. You never know exactly what is going into the ingredients when they're cooking something unless you really ask. And how do people go, let's say you're going to a meeting or you're going to restaurants and it's part of business or even pleasure, how do you know what to choose and what the right foods are so you're not putting on weight and you're really taking care of yourself?
Yes. Well, you know, I travel for a living. So this is week in, week out. I'm eating out in restaurants. I have business meetings from early morning to late at night. So I'm surrounded by restaurant food on a constant basis. I eat a small portion of what I eat is what I eat at home. So I am very proactive, and everybody should be very proactive. When you're in a restaurant, you just have no idea of the amount of extra butters that they slap on your food, the amount of extra oils that they're pouring into your foods. So you always ask, and you want to tell them what you want in your food. You want to say, I don't want, try to put less oil, put no butter, and they will spice up your foods with other herbs and other spices that will make your food just as tasty because it's in their best interest to try to make you a happy customer, pleased customer. They want you to walk out there feeling like they did their job. So if you are proactive and you tell them, I want this, I don't want the extra fat, they will usually try to accommodate what you're asking for. But most people don't want to do that. They also feel uncomfortable because they're around their peers from work, they're around other customers, they're trying to have a good time. So you have that idea that you're not going to, you're being a problem person if you do that, but it's not true. I mean, you can enjoy a meal the way you want it cooked by asking what you want, and they will most of the time add different spices. They will even get more creative with your meals if you are more proactive in asking, and you say, I'm watching my weight, I have certain allergies, please try to accommodate my request, they will do it. 9 times out of 10 or maybe 10 times out of 10, they will do it. So,
you know, you're right, because like you said, they want to make you happy. They want you to come back. They want you to spread a good word about them so that they can stay in business, and that's one of the ways that they do it, by accommodating you. And you talk throughout the book, Veronica, about being proactive and also having a plan of action, which for you has worked for, and how many miles have you covered now? Something, it's like 150,000 miles a year. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I have enough miles this year alone to go to Europe twice. So it's a lot of miles, and that means a lot of eating out, a lot of making, the right choices, because I have to. I'm the kind of person that looks the other way, and I have 5 pounds on me immediately. So I'm constantly in the struggle, you know, of keeping my weight down and watching what I – so this is my passion, and this is what I convey in the book, and this is what my life has turned into. I really want to be able to share this with people because it's not as hard as it sounds, and it becomes a habit. If we make it a habit to be very proactive about what we eat, our selections, having fruits and vegetables on our plates, no matter where you are, you know, I have – my logo is an apple in a suitcase. You incorporate healthy eating wherever you are. And you can do it. You know, I can do it. We all have busy schedules, but it's just a matter of having a conscious little voice in our brains telling us, you know, pick this, don't pick that, read your labels, ask for better choices. It's just amazing. Cut down on your sodas. I was a soda addict for many years. I had to have my daily Coke, and I found that switching to seltzer water gives me that fix, because it's the soda is what I actually was addicted to, the fizz, not the soda itself. The sugars I can live without now. So it's little things that we can incorporate into our daily life that really make a difference to the calorie counts, to the fat count, to the amount of sugar that we take on a daily basis. And that's what it's all about. It's a healthy diet. It's not even what we perceive as a diet. It's just eating a balanced diet on the go, but really making those right choices.
You know, you're talking about healthy eating that's conscious, which I think is so very important. And you mentioned Coke. I learned, because I used to love diet soda. We won't get into the challenges of that, but I gave that up a long, long time ago. And then I learned, actually, when I gave it up, not only does regular Coke have sugar in it, it's packed with sugar, but also it has a lot of sodium, and sodium helps keeps the weight on your body, keeps the water when in your body, so it's not actually healthy for you. So it's not just the sugar, it's also the sodium that people need to stay away from. How do you exercise? You're traveling, like you said, over 150,000 miles per year. What do? You're on the go, you're delays in the airport, like you say, expect delays. What do people do to get exercise and to not be deterred about traveling because they're afraid to gain that weight and they want to stay trim?
Yeah, that's a very important fact. So fortunately, over the years, I've learned how to incorporate exercise, because it's one of the biggest things that people use and is an excuse. All bets are off when you're traveling. You have no time for exercise. But it's something that you have to incorporate. So the way that I have found it, and for any exercise program, you have to make it fun. You're not going to stick with it if you don't enjoy it. And that's the bottom line. I have found that in all the hotel chains that I stay in, you know, they have these gyms, and they have gone, it's a competitive edge now. Who has gyms? Who has better options for their patrons? And so, but I still find it difficult to wake up in the morning and go to the gym in the hotel. I just find it tedious. So for me, that doesn't work. What I find very entertaining is I find gyms that are in the surrounding area to the hotels. And to me, that stimulates me enough that I will make it happen. I will make sure to find out when I get to that lobby of the hotel, find out what gyms are in the adjacent areas, and I do the group classes. So I will get to the group classes, whether it's at 6 in the morning, whether it's later in the afternoon. But it's something that you can do. It has to work for you. You have to make it something that you're looking forward to, that's going to continue you in that exercise mode. And if you're not that kind of person that likes to go to gyms outside of the hotel and do group exercises, and there's a lot of other things that you can do as well. You can have exercise videos in your room. You can have all kinds of things that you can do just in the comfort of your room. But even walking up and down the stairways is another thing. I always stay on a high floor, and if I can't make it to the gym because there's inclement weather outside, I try to run up and down the stairs. For me as a woman, it's a safety thing, but it works. But you have to individualize that plan for you. You have to find that area, that sweet spot that's going to make you continue. My best friend is my iPod, and with music, I can do exercise anywhere. So that's pretty much for your listeners the best piece of advice that I can tell them is make it work for you. Find that sweet spot that it's going to make you want to continue exercising, and you'll find that you'll continue. You'll want to look forward to it.
You know, you're talking about walking up and down the stairs, Veronica, which is great. But also, just walking, even if you're at a business meeting, which I go to, and I'm going to one in a few weeks, they give you some time to explore the area or whatever, and that's the time that I know I've used to just take a walk. Even in rainy weather, I make sure that I pack an umbrella so that I can do that walk, because not every place has gyms, and it's not my preference like yours to do an exercise class. I sort of like to exercise solo. But everything that we're talking about, which I think is fantastic, has a motivation piece around it. I've heard so often, and I heard it this weekend when I was away from my friend, that about everything. Well, we're on vacation, which allowed for whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to do or not want to do. How do people maintain that motivation to keep them on track, and how do you do it?
Well, that is such an excellent point, Joanne. I mean, there is that feeling of indulgence, even if you're working, but if you're on a pleasure trip, you know, much more. People just put their hands up in the air. I'm on vacation. You know, it's my time to grant myself the things that I normally can't grant myself. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. But you know what? You have to think, do I really want to come back with those extra 5 pounds on me? Wouldn't you rather put that extra weight on your suitcase of souvenirs than on you? I think we all do, right?
Right.
So what you have to really think. I mean, and it's so easy to put on those 5 pounds when you're traveling. So what I always say is give yourself room, give yourself permission, but don't go overboard. And that's the problem. People tend to go overboard. They say, you know, I'm eating at a fancy restaurant. I'm going to have everything that I can in sight. You go for the fatty meals. You go for the full dessert. Well, no, grant yourself permission. Give yourself, in that 24-hour period or in that period of time that you're going to be away, find yourself that leeway that's going to give you that feeling of indulgence, but don't go overboard. I mean, when you're ordering desserts for the period of time that you're going away, say I'm going to have dessert once during my trip. The rest of the day, if you have to have dessert, then order fruits. You know, they'll accommodate your request at most restaurants, and they'll find fruit, you know, the frozen fruit that's delicious. You can find yourself, if you're going to be eating 3 large meals, well, don't make them all big, large meals. Don't start your day eating eggs and potatoes and pancakes and then have a big lunch, you know, and then have a big dinner. You'll be eating 3,000 calories before you know it, and you're probably not going to be walking around and moving around a lot, and that's the problem. If you're not balancing what you're eating with the amount of exercise that you're doing, you're going to gain that weight. So, again, it's all about being balanced and finding that permissiveness and allowing yourself to do things that you want, but in moderation. So allow it, but just be very conscious about how much you're allowing yourself to do that. That's,
you know,
the best
you have some,
and
I think it's so really important, because it's okay to indulge, but like you said, don't go overboard, don't go nuts about it, but remember what's going to happen afterwards, the aftermath of, oh my goodness, look what I did. But you have here in your book, you're talking of desserts, and you say all it takes is an extra 100 calories a day to accumulate an extra 10 pounds of unwanted weight in a year. That's amazing, because that's 100 calories is really not that much, but if we're consistently doing that with sugar and desserts rather than making the healthy, conscious choices that you're talking about, beware weight. And you know what else I love about this book, folks? You you outline what the lean alternative is for so many different things, whether it's food choices, and you talk about different hotels that really are up with different solutions and how to find. One question I have, how do you find healthy food, healthy fare in an airport? Because I bring my food, I bring my lunch, like we talked about, even my breakfast, but is there a place where I have yet to find it?
Well, of course, my book captures that, and certainly it provides what I call a GPS for finding in different airports. There's a rating watchdog out there that actually the Physician Committee for quality, and they actually review what airports are doing the right thing for their patrons, and so it's rated. Every year they come out with new ratings. And surprisingly enough, I think that airports are listening to that. They are paying more attention. There's more options than there were historically. So if you go to any airport and you look around, you are going to find more smarter, better, tastier selections than you have before. You know, there's more yogurts available. There's more grab-and-go choices than we have had in the past that are healthy. More salads that you can grab and take. Again, it's just being more, just not grabbing the first thing that comes to sight, because that's their marketing power, is that they want you to buy by smell, by your emotions. But if you take a little bit more time and you scope your surroundings before you make that choice, you will find that there's a lot of healthy options out there. I mean, I say even at McDonald's and Burger King's, which, you know, at every airport there's lots of them, but you can always get a salad, and they're abundant now. You can get salads anywhere, and tasty salads. And I say, you know, if you can find the right choices, you can always keep that weight off. And that's how I live my life right now. So again, I think that the airport industry, the hotel industry, is much more conscious now. It's a competitive edge with each other. They're trying to outdo each other with providing better options. And so you have hotels like the Westin now, the Hiltons, that are providing, they have menus that are healthier options, and you can choose. And they're delicious. The meals that they're providing in these menus are absolutely delicious. So you're not compromising taste. And again, I think that rule applies everywhere. If you're in an airport and you just try to find all of the leaner options when you're ordering, and you can do it because it's available. It's easier than it was before. Let's just say that.
And that's so important, and it's great. It's great advice. And again, it's in your book, The Lean Guide for the Business Traveler. Now, we were talking about traveling, obviously, and with traveling comes a lot of stress, because sometimes planes are delayed. And I one time I was actually in Kentucky, and they closed down the airport because of high winds, and there we were stuck for hours and hours not knowing, and that adds stress. And we all know that with that comes behaviors in terms of eating or whatever that we don't necessarily like. What do you do, and what do you recommend to our listeners in terms of handling the stress and dealing with the behaviors that come with it, so that they don't eradicate all the good stuff that they are doing to take care of their bodies and their health?
You're right on target with that. And that, again, is the unique feature about what makes it different for the traveler when they're eating. There's stressors, there's all these delays that are occurring. So a lot of emotional eating, a lot of self-sabotaging takes place. What I recommend, and believe it or not, I mean, what Dr. Rob was saying, the same thing, the importance of hydration, the importance of having that water bottle with you is your best friend a lot of times. You know, we had that tendency unconsciously of trying to fill that time gap with food, and a lot of times if you have your water bottle with you, which airplanes are dehydrating environments as it is, not airports per se, but airplanes are. So it's always good to try to stay even more hydrated when you're traveling, because it helps guard against that just grab feeling. You want to eat because it's a comfort thing. It's just a comfort thing. You're killing time. You're bored. So water, believe it or not, always fills in that gap, even if it's momentarily. It will give you that psychological feeling. I'm putting something into my mouth. It's fulfilling that need, even if it's just for a short period of time. Then what I do, again, is if you have long periods of time, you know, when you have reading material, I always try to pick something that's health-related, that's telling me, I surround myself with material information that's going to tell me about healthy eating, guiding me through those periods of time. A lot of men like to read sports-related things. I choose these health-related things that are going to keep me, keep my mind occupied, thinking and keeping in that direction of eating healthy, of keeping me guarded against eating garbage. So, again, it's the healthy snacks that you keep with you whenever you travel. Stuff every single one of your bags. That will keep you away from that temptation of grabbing garbage and candy and sugars and sweets. If you have your protein bars with you, if you have your trail mix with you, if you have your your fruit, your bananas, your apples. If you buy yogurt at the airport. I think all these things can help. And believe it or not, even the coffees nowadays are so detrimental. We find coffee in abundance everywhere now. There's a Starbucks just about, you know, in every terminal, and there's sometimes two. And people also put in a lot of extra calories by drinking all this coffee, but they add the wrong stuff to it. So it's full of sugars. They're adding more of the additives that are just full of empty calories and that. So be careful also with your coffees and your drinks and keep those lean. And you can do that just by, you know, selecting soy milk, for instance, is one of the things that I always ask for my coffee. And that's a protein. It's filling you up. So it's all of these psychological things that you're doing that are keeping you, you know, protected and guarded when you're traveling. That are little things, but they do make a difference.
And they're so important to staying healthy and also trim. We have about 1 minute left, Veronica. What is the one thing that people need to carry on that's portable that's really very important? And then tell our guests how they can get a hold of you and your book.
Well, you know, one thing that I do and one trick that I always incorporate into my iPhone is just having reminders, you know, eat healthy, exercise, and I also put a lot of apps in there that are health-related, so exercise, calorie counters. There's all different types of apps, and these things do work, you know. So it's very important that you're constantly reminding yourself to live a healthy lifestyle. It's not about a diet. It's all about making healthy habits and taking them with you wherever you go. So, again, it's that apple in the suitcase concept of portability, and I think your listeners, you know, the more you think about this, the more you incorporate these little tips, the more it's going to stick. The book and the book, again, can be purchased. It's available through my website, leantraveler.com, leantraveler.com. And you can also get a hold of me through vtomore@aol.com. So either way, I'd be happy to get the book to you, and I think that there's a lot of pearls for anybody that lives on the go, which I think is everybody these days.
And you know what? You're so right, because there's so much wisdom in this book. It's jam-packed with a lot of information for traveling, whether it's for business or for pleasure, which is so very, very important. And like you said, yes, we're all on the go, and so it's an ideal read. Veronica, thank you so much. You have some incredible information to share with our listeners, and I appreciate your time and being a guest on the Power Your Life show. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, folks, actually what we're doing is we're really thinking about what to do for our health and our weight, and next week we're shifting gears and we're moving into business with Veronica Victoria Sitz, I Don't Wear a Suit, and Jerome Chazen, who wrote a book about my life at Liz Claiborne, how we broke the rules and built the largest fashion company. So we're going to zoom ahead and talk to you about what you need to do for business. Have a blessed day, and thanks for sharing your day with us on Power Your Life.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.